All rise, the Intermediate Court of Appeals is now in session. The Honorable Claudine K.A. Watanabe, Craig H. Nakamura, and Daniel R. Foley presiding.
Good afternoon. The council would like to identify themselves.
Your Honor, my name is Kat Siamada. I'm pro se in this case.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Justices, I'm Gerard Lego. I represent the plaintiff appellants, Mr. But I'm going to be deferring mostly to him unless you folks have questions of me.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. William Weinhoff, appearing on behalf of Deputy Attorney General, appearing on behalf of State of Hawaii, the State of Hawaii Department.
Thank you. And she proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Kat Siamada. I am appellant pro se in this case. Case is relatively simple in terms of the issues that are presented because there aren't any cases in controversy except for the interpretation of statutory provisions and also the rules and regulations adopted by the Department of Land and Natural Resources. There are basically three issues on contention on this appeal, Your Honors. And I would like to take them one at a time. The first one involves the use of Wednesday, Thursday hunts on the island of Hawaii, although the rules and regulation or the applicable provision applies statewide. And the reason why I say that is because yesterday morning, I obtained from the Department of Land and Natural Resources their publication for the oncoming hunting season for the year 2007 and 2008. In that notice, it's only not only the island of Hawaii which has extended the hunting day period without adopting any changes in the rules and regulations that they've already adopted, but it's also the island of Kauai that's extending the hunting days without adopting rules and regulations. So the problems that exist is not particularly unique to the island of Hawaii, but applies also to the island of Kauai now.
Well, the statutes do provide that the Board of Land and Natural Resources may delegate to the chairperson or members of that department powers and duties as may be lawful or proper for the performance of functions vested in the board. And I think the board's position is they've got a rule that basically delegates authority, and so that rule authorizes the addition of hunting days.
Your Honor, if I may be more specific, and I beg to differ slightly, the rules that has been adopted by the Department of Land and Natural Resources gives them the power to extend the hunting seasons, but not the days. Under section, if I may read a portion of that, the rules and regulation that's in contention, Your Honor. First, because the issue is somewhat muddied there because of the FLE's position, let me first note that under Exhibit 1 to the rules and regulation adopted by DLNR, they define hunting days as Saturday, Sunday, and state holidays. And in the event that, well, it all goes to the last of the third Sunday in January of the season following.
Well, what's the practical difference between, you're saying that under this statute, they could, for example, extend it, under this rule, they could extend the hunting season for a week.
They could extend the hunting season, but there's no given time.
Right. What's the difference, as a practical matter, between extending the hunting season for a week and adding an additional day in the existing hunting season? Isn't the effect that the hunting season is lengthened, and the rule itself says that they may make changes to the length of the hunting season?
Two basic differences, Your Honor. One, of course, is a legal one. They've adopted rules and regulation that says that the hunting days are Saturday, Sunday, and state holidays. They would be violating that by not complying with it. And the second, the practical difference that you asked me about is very significant, Your Honor. Whenever there is any kind of hunting, the game bird tends to run uphill, fly down into the adjoining land, which is primarily private lands. And what happens is that the birds will not come back to the game management area for at least a week or so. And that's because they don't fly uphill, but they tend to run uphill or walk uphill if they're not pushed. And so it takes generally a week or more, depending on the kind of terrain and the location, before the birds will return to the game management area.
I'm not a hunter, so I am wondering, I guess, if you're a bird hunter and the other plaintiffs are bird hunters, why do you folks care if there are additional weeks and days in the week that you can hunt?
Your Honor, we have a number of problems with the Wednesday-Thursday hunt. And we are trying to maintain a viable bird population that can be hunted on the mountain. And so we don't wish to attempt to shoot all the birds we can, but we'd like them to keep it as long as possible. And so, yes, if the birds are going to take about a week to come back up to the mountain, it gives the bird population some time to recuperate.
What's your response to the appellee's argument that for them to effectively manage the wildlife resource, they need to have some flexibility to deal with changing conditions? And if under your interpretation of the statute and the rule, if every time they want to respond to changing conditions, they have to do it through rulemaking, that they won't be permitted to efficiently manage the resource.
They already have that in the rules and regulation which they adopted, Your Honor. And the reason why I say that is because the rules and regulations adopted by DLNR specifically gives them the right to extend the hunting season, but not the amount of days.
All right, so you're not objecting to the fact that the rule itself gives the department some flexibility. You're not saying that every decision by the department has to be made pursuant to the rulemaking procedures.
That is correct, Your Honor. And that's because they have that discretionary power already written in the rules to extend the seasons instead of adding additional days.
Okay, so if this regulation said they can make changes to the hunting season and the number of hunting days, and that had been passed previously pursuant to rulemaking, you wouldn't have any problem in this case.
Your Honor, I wouldn't even be here. However, there's one additional proviso that's in the rules and regulation that says that upon completion of a study which justifies the extension of the period of time. Let me also note that in...
What you're saying was not done in this case?
Yes, Your Honor. And they're not done in the 2007-2008 bird hunting season, which they just released a notice on. For example, they note that there is a drought condition that exists on the mountain, and they also specifically find that there's been less than 50% rainfall on the mountain. And of course, this has a practical effect because if there's been less than 50% rainfall, then the bird population is very significantly reduced. And the reason why I say that is because during the crucial time periods in which we've had a drought this year, this was primarily in June, July, that period of time. And what happens is that these are very crucial periods because the eggs hatch and the fledglings are young. And at that point, they need the water. And if they don't get the water, the fledglings will die.
Are you saying they didn't do a study, or you're disagreeing with the recommendations that they made pursuant to their study?
Well, I'm saying that they haven't made a study, but they're saying that they also in this notice that the season is going to be poor, less than average, because of the significant loss in the rainfall on the mountain.
I believe there was a letter in the record from the Wildlife Division to the board for the period in question in this case, where they said they went and actually did a count on the land, and there were like 32 birds within an acre as opposed to two the previous year because of the good rainfall, and that's why they went and added the days. If they put that kind of standards in the rule, would that be objectionable?
If it's in the rules, certainly, Your Honor, we would be bound by that.
So you're not saying that every time they add a Wednesday or a Thursday that they have to do rulemaking as long as they vest certain types of standards within the department for adding days to the hunting season?
That is correct, Your Honor. And, you know, if the rule says they can add additional days, that's certainly the law that we would have to follow at this point. But that's not what the current rule says. The current rule says that they may extend the season, but not the number of days.
Well, taking that argument where you say that to the other issue on fees, I think the rules do say they can adopt fees as long as they don't, or stamps, I guess, as long as they don't exceed the $10 license fee. But you're arguing that they have to adopt those amounts by rule, specific rule.
I am not sure where you got 2 weeks from, Your Honor.
2 weeks? Did I say 2 weeks? I'm sorry.
Well,
in terms of the stamps?
I don't recall any 2 week period in the rules and regulations. But let me answer your question in this fashion. I don't think there is any doubt by anyone that the current rules and regulations specify the period of time, the season, the hunting season, and also the hunting days which can be utilized for hunting purposes, that they are adopted by current valid rules and regulations.
All right, let me ask you this. I'm looking at the rule. It says the board or its authorized representative may add conditions and restrictions for hunts. Well, why wouldn't adding an additional day be adding a condition and restriction for hunts under the language of the rule?
Your Honor, my response to that is that under 13-122-4, the rules and regulations adopted by the Department of Land and Natural Resources specifically states that they can lengthen the rules. Lengthen the season of the hunting period.
Right.
But it doesn't include extending the number of days during the hunting period.
But that's an enumeration of different powers. The first power that is enumerated is may add conditions and restrictions for hunts. So why wouldn't that, in other words, seems to be a very broad authorization, and then subsequently they discuss topics that are more limited, such as lengthening hunting season, setting bag limits. So why wouldn't the state be able to argue, well, we added an additional day to the hunting, permissible hunting, under our power to add conditions and restrictions for hunts?
That's because the other section which pertains to the extension of the hunting season is a more specific statutory or rule section that provides for the extension of the hunting period.
Right, but saying that you can lengthen the season for hunts doesn't mean that you cannot change the days of the week. I mean, giving permission to do something doesn't necessarily mean that you can't do something else. It's not specifically talked about, but there's a general power to make changes and to affect the conditions and restrictions for hunting.
Yes, Your Honor. In terms of the definition of hunting season, hunting period, and hunting days, that's specifically spelled out in the rules and regulations. And that's why I say, because the rules permit the lengthening of the hunting season, but not the number of days, those specific provisions have to be followed because they are the adopted rules and regulations. Anyway, what I did want to mention was that the announcement that was published or released yesterday does specifically state that because the hunting season is going to be poor as a result of the lack of rainfall, the anticipated harvest of birds will be less than average. And despite that, they're still going ahead with the Wednesday and Thursday hunting periods.
Well, let me ask you this. Under the current rule, without the changes, it's only weekends, correct? Weekends and holidays.
That is correct.
All right. So, but your position is, under this rule, they don't have the discretion to make changes except for by rulemaking.
That is correct.
And what happens if, say, for example, there is a unexpected disease that affects game birds, so that there's now maybe even weekends would endanger the population? Under your analysis, the department would be precluded from limiting the number of days to save the population?
They have the right to actually stop the bird hunting. There are powers given to DLNR under other sections of the rules and regulations
that permit them to do that. Under this rule, they under your view of how this thing should work, under this rule, they would not be able to make changes in that fashion to limit or restrict the number of days unless they went through Rule 91 rulemaking.
That is correct, Your Honor. But as I mentioned, there is that added proviso in the rules that says that they can stop the hunting altogether if they're given appropriate reasons to do it.
Do you have that rule number? Do you know what the rule number is?
It's section 13-122-4.
That's the same one we're talking about, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So where in the rule does it say that they have the discretion to stop?
Under section B of that section, it states that the board or its authorized representative may add conditions and restrictions for hunts, set back limits, limit, suspend, or postpone the hunting of any game bird.
Okay, thank you.
Your Honor, the second issue I wanted to talk about was the use of the conservation stamp and also the bird hunting stamp. And to that extent, Your Honor, I would refer this court to section 183D-22. That section specifically states that upon a hunting license shall be issued to a person or by an agent of the department upon paragraph 2, payment of a hunting license fee. And that fee is set at $10 under that same section, subsection B1. It says, or any other hunting-related fee the board may require as provided in this chapter. So, Your Honor, the statute uses the word shall issue a hunting license upon the payment of the hunting license fee, which is $10. But what the board has done is to require...
It says, or any other hunting fee or any other hunting-related fee the board may require.
As provided in this chapter.
Right. Doesn't the chapter authorize the board to impose rules regarding fees other than the hunting license?
Yes, it does, Your Honor.
So why doesn't that chapter authorize the board to issue stamps pursuant to regulations?
The reason is that the powers and responsibilities of the board are clearly outlined in Section 183D-2 as to what the board can do. And the issuance of a bird hunting stamp and a conservation stamp is nowhere in that chapter.
But doesn't the statute itself, for example, when it talks about the revolving fund,
doesn't it
refer to the department putting into the revolving fund fees such as collected in selling stamps? So and doesn't the chapter itself refer to the, it implicitly, if not explicitly, refer to the board's ability to issue these stamps and collect money for them?
To a certain degree, yes, Your Honor. However, the revolving fund section of the statute and the sale of the stamps are covered in the rules and regulations. Your Honor, at this point, I'm told to stop.
Is there time for rebuttal?
Yes.
May it please the court, as Mr. Yamada has explained, and the court knows there's two issues in this case, one relating to hunting days for the hunting season, I should say, and the other one with respect to the stamps. With respect to the hunting season, I guess the first thing I'd like to say is that, as I mentioned in the brief, there's really two issues with respect to both of these, and that is whether the rules allow it, and number two, whether the statute authorizes the rules, and I guess you could take those in either fashion. With respect to the first issue as to hunting seasons, I suggested in the brief, and I suggest again today, that the issue as to what the rule means, and the applicable rule being HAR 13-122-4, is waived, because there wasn't any mention of it in any of the briefs. The only discussion in the briefs with respect to authority was whether the statute authorized the rule, and there wasn't any discussion of whether the rule authorized what we in fact did. But since that's been brought up, I will at least touch on it, because I think it's pretty clear. If you look at 13-122-4, the section itself talks about open seasons and hunting days. The first section references, and Mr. Yamada is absolutely correct on that under Section A, the hunting days, you have to go through the exhibits, but the hunting days are typically weekends, or originally anyway, under A, weekends and holidays. But the next section, Section B, as has already been discussed, specifically gives the board or its authorized representative. There's no issue that the board and or its authorized representative have actually done so.
Where is it in the rule that authorizes the chairperson of the department to set additional days?
The record reflects that what happened is that the chairperson is the authorized representative. The board took the action, and I have a record reference in here.
There's a December 10, 2004 memo to the chairperson, basically saying we haven't been able to find any authority, so please give us the authority. Isn't that an admission that you did not have that authority when you added the additional days?
The record at Volume 1, what happened in this, the record at Volume 1, pages 77-80, contains the authorization. The answer to Your Honor's question is, when we originally went over there, there was a temporary restraining order, and so we went over there on pretty short notice and weren't able to find the authority that we were looking for. The court below also asked this exact same question and asked us to file a supplemental memoranda on that issue. And two things happened in that interim. First of all, the board went ahead and took another action, saying that the board authorized this particular action. But in addition, we were able to find, we went back farther, and we were able to pull out the board's action in which they said, now that these Chapter 13-122 has been adopted, we hereby designate, and the board noted that the words authorized representative were used throughout that chapter, and the board took the action that says, whenever the word authorized, the words authorized representative are used in that chapter. What that means is our chairperson, and that's in the record, volume 1 at 77-80.
But if the statute gives the department the authority to promulgate rules,
yes,
governing when you can hunt, and it has to be done by rules, and you're delegating, can you delegate without going through rulemaking?
The question that you're asking is, can
you delegate and say, okay, chairperson, you can set these days. You don't have to go through rulemaking. All you have to do is go to the board and follow the Sunshine Law and just add these days. And so the public doesn't really have an opportunity to debate, you know, whether it's in the public interest to add these additional days during the hunting season.
Well, again, I would say that's something that's not in the record, is not argued by appellant, but appellant. It is certainly a fair question. I think it's, first of all, it's not clear to me that the rules say only the board and nobody else can do it. I'm not sure turning into the statute, what the statute says is, subject to Chapter 91, the department shall adopt, amend, and repeal rules, and of course the salient one here is, or there's a couple actually, concerning the preservation, et cetera, and conditions for entry into public hunting areas, and concerning open and closed seasons, et cetera, et cetera.
So, but isn't the clear implication of that statute is that the pertinent rules that the department uses to manage its resources shall be subject to rulemaking? In other words, doesn't the fact that the legislature passed a statute that says, subject to Chapter 91, the department shall adopt rules concerning the subject matter, doesn't that suggest that there is at least some requirement that you can't just delegate the authority to impose requirements without going through rulemaking in some fashion?
I don't think it does. I mean, I think that's really the exact question that is presented by the briefs anyway, which is, does the statute give the board authority to set days without going through rulemaking? And I mean, one could imagine, since I think really, in truth, the terms of the rule, what the rule means, aren't really a serious issue, and it certainly wasn't raised in the briefs. But anyway, let's just imagine a rule that said nothing more than every year, the board or its authorized representative, after study, shall set the appropriate days. I believe, and that's exactly the issue, I believe that such a rule would be authorized by the statute.
Well, what about a rule that just said that the pursuant to the statute, the board, in its discretion, shall make whatever requirements are necessary for hunting that it deems appropriate? Would that be consistent with the statute, which says that the division or the department shall, through rulemaking, make rules concerning various subject matters regarding regulation?
Well, I guess if you say a rule that says the rule is the board will do everything by board action, I don't really want to argue that, to tell you the truth. I mean, at that end, it's possible to make
argument. Where's the line, though? The rule that you're citing is the board, through its authorized representatives, may do all these things, basically upon study that's deemed to be in the public interest. I mean, is that a guideline or a restriction or a test that is meaningful in terms of the public being able to expresses views on the discretion or the actions of the department?
Yes. Now, the short answer to the question is yes. The longer answer is, and going back to the question of where's the line, wherever the line is, this rule is very far on the correct side of the line. And the reason for it is severalfold. First of all, the statute says the department shall adopt, amend, or repeal rules concerning. It doesn't say, I mean, it would be different if the statute said shall adopt rules designating the days of the week on which hunting can take place. Obviously, this rule, I believe anyway, clearly this rule is intended to give the board and the department a considerable amount of discretion, number one. Number two, with respect to the public input, what happened is, and what happens on every rule, is when these rules were promulgated, then that's when the public had input. And so the public had input and the possibility of the public coming in and saying, hey, this is too much power to give yourself. We want you to come back every year when you want to change it and change it at that time. That was the public's opportunity to have that input. And now,
but
I wasn't
public,
there, and
right.
I don't know what it says, but, you know, the fact of the matter is, and I think it's a really important point with respect to this point in particular, is anything that said, you have to set the days by rule, and that this is whatever the amount of discretion that the board can have, this is too much. That means you can't do it at all. And that's what the record shows. I'm sorry.
No, but the department did adopt rules, and it basically said Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays, and then you basically circumvented that process by going and amending the days that you can hunt, and the public did not have any input into that process.
Well, the court, I assume, anyway, what the court's interpretation or that question, rhetorical or whatever, the answer to it is, if you take that position, I mean, you're absolutely right. The board said in Section A, the hunting days are the weekend. But to take the position that that's the end of it, and that can only be amended by further rulemaking, basically makes surplusage of Section B, because
What about an intermediate position, which is you can give yourself discretion to make changes when necessary, but that has to be viewed in the light of, first, the legislative mandate that these decisions should be subject to rulemaking, and secondly, if you're going to do that, at least have in the rule itself specific guidelines that limit your discretion, or at least allow review of whether the process that you made those changes without rulemaking were pursuant to some structure that can be reviewed to see if it was reasonable.
Well, first of all, I have to disagree with the court that it's within the legislature's mandate that hunting days had to be set by rule and by no other process. And second of all, with respect to the way the rule is, that also, quite frankly, is not at issue in this case. There's no, I mean, I don't know a basis on which a rule could be attacked that, I mean, basically that's an attack on the rule, saying it's an improper rule, which really isn't at issue in this case, and I don't know what the rule would be. I guess under 91.7, you could attack the existing rule B to say it exceeds constitutional limits or something like that. I don't think it would. I hear the court's question and hypothetical. Does this rule, I guess, give them too much power, and should there be some sort of intermediate type of rule that would be more,
Can't we read the statute as saying that to the extent reasonable or to the extent practicable, the board or the division, department, should make its decision pursuant to rulemaking?
I don't think so. I mean,
why not? Why would the legislature even include that statute with the detailed subjects that shall be subject to Rule 91 rules? Why would they go on and enumerate those specific things if there wasn't some policy or some intent by the legislature that these matters be subject to rulemaking, where the public has a chance to have input?
The answer to that is because it's a mandate of power to the board. If they didn't have these rules in here, then maybe they wouldn't be able to make rules with respect to these particular areas. So they're specifically telling them, you may make rules with respect to these areas. If they didn't have that in there, then the question could have arisen when we made the rules, hey, what gives you the right to make rules with respect to hunting season and open days? So by putting in there something that says, you may make rules with respect to this area.
They didn't say you may make rules, they said you shall make rules.
Fine. You shall make rules with respect to this area. That the fact that they have to make that they have to, and conversely, and as I say, are allowed to make rules, is not in itself a limitation on what those rules have to contain. So when you use the word, when you look at the statute to see what the legislature is saying, it's very clear, I submit, that what the legislature is doing is giving a great deal of discretion to the board in this area for exactly the reasons that we're facing here. If they said set the number of days by rule, you shall set the days of the week by rule, that would be wonderful. But to say you shall adopt rules concerning
you have to read that with Chapter 91, and if it's going to affect rights and privileges to the public, then you have to do it by rulemaking. Isn't that the general rule? I mean, the legislature, when they pass these laws, don't have time to flesh out all the details, and that's why they delegate that authority to the departments to do it by rulemaking. But you have to put some standards and not just carte blanche delegate it to the officers to do whatever they want without providing any kind of input to the court.
You know, I don't disagree with that. I certainly, nobody would say that there isn't a role for the court here. And that's, as Judge Watanabe Nakamura, pardon me, referred to later. I don't disagree that there's a line here somewhere. I don't disagree with that.
Could you clarify for me? Mr. Yamada says the rule says the department can extend the season. And he has no problem with that.
Yes, right.
But can't add days.
Right.
Is he misreading the rule? And if so, how?
The words of the statute are, or pardon me, the words of Rule B, 130, 13-122-4B are, the board or its authorized representatives may lengthen hunting seasons. Our argument was, our belief was throughout this case, is that if you look back at the actual title of that statute, it's bag limits, open season, and hunting days. And our belief, our argument, our understanding has been, and has always been throughout this case, that the words hunting seasons include two components. Open season, that is, it starts in November and ends in January, and hunting days, that is, days of the week. That's been our argument throughout. They did not argue anything differently in any of their briefs and have waived the challenge. And with respect to, I admit that that's not necessarily the only reading of that rule. But that, as I said, it's been our belief throughout. They didn't challenge it, and I would also cite the court as I did.
But assuming that the board had the power to adopt that rule and adopted
right.
it appropriately and made the delegation, we really get to the construction of that language.
Well,
that's
right.
it, whether they have the power to add those days.
With respect to both of these challenges, I would say again that that's exactly right. The first question is, does the rule authorize it? Number one, and the second question is, does the statute authorize a rule, or vice versa?
And we have to give some deference to the board in construing its own rules, right?
That's right. That's right. And I did cite a case to that effect. That obviously, that's pretty standard administrative rule stuff. Lee versus Elbaum, an administrative agency's interpretation of its own rules is required to deference unless it is plainly erroneous or inconsistent with the underlying legislative purpose. It also says great deference in that same case. And I did belabor the point because, as I said, there wasn't any challenge to the state's construction of the rule itself in their briefs. It was just a question of, as we've been discussing,
and some,
as to whether it was authorized.
In the exchange, I think it was between Judge Watanabe and Mr. Yamada, some things aren't appropriate to rulemaking. I mean, a specific day if you have to. But his response is to that, well, you can always stop the season. You don't have to amend the rule.
Right. I guess
the rule could have been more clear, right?
Absolutely. As I said, I think it would have been a much neater case. That issue would have been out of the case without even the necessity.
Mr. Yamada said if the rule said that, he wouldn't be here.
Right. And I agree with that. Then we would have been simply left with the question of whether the statute authorized such a broad-based rule. Again, I would say, I believe that's an appropriate construction of the rule. That's the way that the department interprets it and has always interpreted it and has been waived with respect to.
Do you think under the statute that the department could have, instead of making a rule that Part A has specific days for the hunting season and then Part B gives some discretion, did away with Part A and just said that the department shall determine the appropriate hunting days during the season?
Yes. I do, because the statute says the department shall adopt rules that
concerning. Right. So that's a rule concerning
season.
The hunting
right.
day,
so
even though the rule itself has no substance in terms of like what the limitations are.
Right. I believe in this case, as we've talked about before, I believe that such a rule would be on this side of the line. If it was just a rule instead of having Chapter 122, they just had a rule that said, you know, Chapter 122, the board can do whatever it wants, whenever it wants. I don't think that would fly. But there also is a political process. I mean, these rules don't just fall out of the air. We don't just adopt them. The state doesn't just adopt them ex cathedra. What happens is they go around to the various, I believe it, when they're island statewide concern, they go around to each of the islands, they get input from all these people, they're signed off on by the governor, they're passed by the, passed for legal form as to the attorney general.
How do you address,
I think there's some value in giving some deference to.
Well, how do you address Mr. Yamada's statement that in the past, when you have added days, you've basically said, you took a survey, there were 32 game birds on the acre, there was a lot of rain, and so it's good to add days, and now you're saying there was bad, there was no rain, and so there's less birds, and you're still keeping the Wednesday, Thursday. So it seems very arbitrary and capricious in terms of how you're setting the extra days.
Well, I mean, first of all, of course, that's not in the record, and it's not necessarily the issue here. I mean, I think if the court, I thought its question was an apt one. Is this part of the case moot? And I think that the state was very honest in saying it's not moot because, as Mr. Yamada points out, we do it every year. Well, if they thought we did it arbitrarily and capriciously, then they could have either gone back to the court in this case or gone back to the court in another case and asked for a TRO on the basis not that the rule was wrong, but that we just made it up. I mean, that was one of their issues in this case originally, is they said, well, they just made it up. And they didn't have any study backing up the fact that they let it come on some weekdays as well. And the facts are, and the record reflects that with respect to the 2004-2005 hunting season, we did have a study. Maybe they disagreed with it, but there it's in the record. We're not just pulling these things out of the air. And that also is and every season is subject to judicial review. If we simply go in there and there's something that's really, if we didn't do it without study, well, we violated the rule. If the study is something that's frivolous or patently made up, then it absolutely is subject to judicial review. And I wouldn't say for a second that it's not.
Now, one of the differences between the fee issue and this, the number of days in the hunting season issue, is that you had at least a policy argument as to the hunting season issue that you need flexibility to make changes.
Right.
Is there any reason why the fee schedule for the stamps couldn't have been made pursuant to rulemaking in terms of public hearings and such?
No.
So why in that instance should it be that the department gets to, without going through a public hearing and rules, on its own establish fees for stamps that make it and make that a condition for hunting? So in effect, by its own fiat, be able to establish the fees for hunters?
Well, I guess I would say again, you know, to some extent these things are subject to political control. I mean, the first answer is, I'm sorry, because I like to really get directly, but I got to beat around the bush a little. I think, first of all, there isn't any question that the rule actually allows it, and so the question is it authorized by the statute? And then I suggest that the short answer to your question is because the legislature authorized us to do it this way. It's possible that the revenue needs change every year, but I don't think that's supported by the record,
I see differently, though, in the statute itself, it says the rules may vary from county to county, and then it says except that fees established by rule shall be the same for each county. So the statute itself is referring to fees established by rule.
Why
would the legislature have referred to or associated fees with a rule in the statute unless it contemplated, at least, that fees that the department would be instituting would be pursuant to rule?
It's possible that particular language could be said to support appellant's case, but I think that's a bit of a, and you know, I just don't think it is a real solid argument in response to the statute itself, which specifically says payment of a hunting fee, hunting license fee, or any other hunting-related fee the board may require.
Are these fees going into the Wildlife Revolving Fund?
Yes.
If you look at that statute, 183-10.5, it says that monies collected from the sale of any article in addition to a hunting license, which a person is required to purchase?
Yes.
In order to hunt, when the requirement is established by law or rule,
right.
So it doesn't look like you can put these stamp fees into the revolving fund unless you adopt a rule first.
They are supported by rule.
Not the amounts, though.
They're supported by a rule that says...
A rule that says the department can impose fees.
That's right, which is exactly what, not that statute, but exactly what the enabling statute says is any other hunting-related fee the board may require. I think that's really the issue. That's what it says, and it's possible to, I suppose, come up with some other construction of it, but that's what it says, and that's what the board did, and I suggest and believe that that's, the rule specifically adopts that authority.
Well,
I think there are political constraints. Again, it's not like if this court doesn't exercise its discretion or exercise its power that the board is going to run away, and next year it's going to be, you know, 100 stamps for $10 a piece. Again, these things do have do have, first of all, they went through the rulemaking process, and second of all, they are subject to political constraints, so I don't believe...
But you've added a lot of these, I mean, you started off with a hunting stamp, and then you added the conservation stamp, and then you added a collector stamp, and you keep raising revenue without ever having any kind of public hearing or public input.
Right. Well, I mean, so far we're at $30, and, you know, the legislature authorized us to do it. If the department is going far outside of its mandate or going too far, then the legislature can oversee that. It can be handled. Of course, the governor is ultimately responsible for the chairperson of the board and appoints the members, so there certainly is political oversight for that. If I was here arguing that the board had over the years now had 10 stamps or 20 stamps or somewhere in there, you know, maybe that would be a little more difficult. And maybe that would be the point in which the court was saying, we think that they've overstepped their bounds. But when we have language in the statute that specifically says the board may require any other hunting-related fees, I don't think we've gone past the rule of reason in this case. I don't think we've exceeded our authority. And I think the rule, I think there isn't really any challenge that the rule allows us to do what we did. The question is whether the statute allows the rules.
Right.
A lot of state agencies and departments have authority to promulgate, to adopt fees or rule fees, and they all go through rulemaking. So is your statute differently?
I don't know that. Could be. I mean, if truth be told, and I went back and polled all the other AGs who represent different agencies, is this the only rule that is the only statute that gives this amount of power, and is the only one in which a fee is assessed in this fashion? I don't know. That's true.
But doesn't it seem kind of odd that the statute itself, the legislature in its wisdom, decided by statute to impose specific amounts for hunting licenses in state and out of state? Now, the statute itself says $10 for a hunting license. Mm-hmm. And so the legislature would go to that effect, but it was giving the department carte blanche to establish its own fee schedule without any kind of public hearing or notice. I mean, does that seem inconsistent, at least, with the structure of the statute and the legislature's decision to specifically itself, as to hunting licenses, impose a specific figure?
I don't myself think it's inconsistent, number one. And number two, I certainly don't think it rises to the level of being such an absurd result that the court is required or empowered to overlook the actual plain language of the statute, which actually gives us that power in plain language. So, I mean, possibly. I don't myself see that. I mean, certainly there's some flexibility for the department. Maybe they need more revenue over a longer period of time. Maybe they need less revenue over a period of time. I don't frankly foresee that happening anytime soon, but it doesn't strike me as being outside the legislative scheme at all to give the department some flexibility in raising revenue. It's very obvious, I suggest, that under 183D, the legislature has delegated a great deal of power to the department to oversee hunting grounds, hunting seasons, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, if you don't do it by rule, but wouldn't that be an unconstitutional tax, which is what the appellants have also argued?
They're actually, I'm not sure what the court is referring to. That the unconstitutional tax issue that immediately leaps to my mind is the unconstitutional tax, and there's a case on point with respect to the city imposing something that is considered a tax and not a fee. But the state in that case is that the city can tax only in the way that it's delegated to by the state. And the reason that their fee was unconstitutional is because it was exceeding their taxing power under the Constitution. So that argument doesn't apply to the state. If there's another constitutional argument, then it doesn't come to my mind. And if the court would explain to me what it meant, I'd be happy to think about it.
You would call it a user fee, right, not a tax?
I believe that was the city's issue, and then the court said, Justice Levinson, as I recall, said, no, it's really a tax, and they don't have the authority under the Constitution to tax because, you know, they're just a creature of the state. But the state is the state, and it's the sovereign, and it has
the taxing
authority.
But, I mean, as far as Judge Watanabe's question, if it were a user fee, it wouldn't be a tax,
right,
and therefore the board would have the power. Under the statute, you're arguing it has the power to impose this fee, and what is this fee? It would be something analogous to a user fee.
If it was a user fee, I mean, that's right. I think if you actually went back and looked at the city case, which is the only one that I'm really familiar with, I think you could make a pretty good argument that this is a user fee, and even if we were the city, it wouldn't be an unconstitutional tax.
Well, I think the statute actually contemplates that it would be a user fee, but it has to be promulgated by rules. Otherwise, it's not a user fee.
Well, counsel, as far as the needs to be promulgated by rule, Chapter 91 provides for things like this to be promulgated by rule, except as otherwise provided by statute. So is what you're arguing, this particular statute, although not expressly, implicitly, takes it out of the scope of Chapter 91?
You know, I guess I'm tempted to say yes because it sounds like it'd be good for me, but the truth is I really haven't thought of it that way. What I really thought of it is being a properly promulgated rule under promulgated pursuant to 91 with input from the public, approval of the governor, and review and approval of the board that gives them the right to do something that's authorized by this particular statute. I hadn't thought of it as being something outside of the rule, the Chapter 91 rulemaking province, so I can't in good conscience say yes to them as I stand here right now.
Well, if under your analysis, if the board had a rule that says you the chairperson could adopt whatever fees they wanted to, and it wasn't subject to this $10 limit, could the chairperson then adopt a $300 license fee? And you think that would be permissible?
I think, as I said before, that there's a line there somewhere. At some point, it simply becomes arbitrary and capricious or a violation of due process or something like that. I think you can make a lot better. There's probably a good argument sitting around there somewhere if the line is over here. But I don't, and actually there was an allusion at one point, I think, to either equal protection or due process, which has clearly been waived by now. But when the line is here, as opposed to out here, I don't think any of those arguments come out. I don't disagree that at some point it must be exceeding what they're entitled to do.
The case you cite, the city case, the Medeiros case, it has to be related to the service. So there has to be a connection between the fee and the service.
Right, Medeiros, of course. Thank you, Your Honor. And of course, that is the case in this situation. No question about that. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to hire you, and I appreciate the questions very much.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. I'd like to point out that in the January 7th transcript, Mr. Weinhoff at page 11 talks about the hunting season as referring to the hunting days and open seasons. You correctly pointed out, Your Honor, both you and Justice Fujise and Judge Watanabe, that the 183-3 says subject to Chapter 91, and then it goes through all these things. So let's take the state's argument. You talk about having an open season, and you have hunting days. They promulgated a rule with public input, which says that the open days are Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays. Now they are coming in without any other public input, and they're adding these requirements. You ask, why care? We have a narrow hunting corridor. You shoot them up Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, Sundays, and Wednesdays, Thursdays, the birds are gone. They're not going to come back to that narrow corridor. They're in the private lands where people can do these things where the public don't have no input. There is no participation for doing that. And as for flexibility regarding rule changes, you're absolutely right. If the rules are adopted after public input that said that the department shall be able to, in addition to restricting and adding and doing all these other things, if they expand the power, because the legislator under 183D3 says that subject to Chapter 91, they shall adopt these rules, and then it goes on to fees. If they did that, and if there was public participation, at least we would all feel like we had a participation and a say in doing these things. They didn't do that. They get a new administrator in there, and he comes to us at the hearings, and he says, we had this study. Yesterday, they come out with a new study. Well, it's brand new. This thing is not moot. It's a drought, and yet they're still adding Wednesdays and Thursdays. I mean, there is no public participation. And, you know, and it's people like us who are not really vested in this, that are trying to decide what is the in the public's interest. We have the stewards, the people that are actually using these resources and are trying to preserve these resources and have a vested interest in these things. And we have
8 to 5 lawyers sitting around trying to decide, is this broadly within the permissible area? And I didn't want, you know, I thought that it was very, and I know that you folks studied it, so do you have anything else?
One question for you, yes, sir. Counsel. As far as the rule allows the department to extend the season.
Lengthen hunting season, yes, it does.
And the department that promulgated the rule said what we meant was the number of days. So if we add days, that's extending the season. Don't we have to give some deference to the author of the rule, what they meant?
I would disagree with that interpretation, Your Honor. This is a criminal statute. If I go out there and I get a newspaper publication that tells me that now I can go on a Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm not sure which island it is, and I'm from Kauai, and I'm over here on the Big Island, and now I'm going out there, and I'm banging them away, because I can, because my friends are, and I got the super ferry. And now here I am, and I'm shooting it up, right? And now I get a criminal statute. There's a presumption that this thing is valid, and I'm going to get a ticket. I'm going to have to face criminal statute. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's not... You know, I put in a due process. I mean, there are practical effects that go beyond just the understanding of the law, that this thing has real life effect that affect the criminal law statutes. And that's, you know, that I wanted to point that out. And even the money things, you know, I mean, the legislature, you can make rules. You can go and say we want to do this and we want to, you know, we can do all of that. But just get the public involved. They didn't do that.
Okay, so you're not arguing that the current rule was not authorized by the statute. You're arguing that the conduct or the action of the agency pursuant to this rule,
right,
was improper because,
right,
their conduct was not
beyond. They're going beyond Jacoba versus Sun. They're going beyond the.
So we're really at a rule interpretation,
right,
part of it. All right.
That's why I let him, because, you know, these are hunters, and I said 5 minutes, so thank you.
Are there different, I'm just curious about the practical effect, are there different people who hunt on Wednesdays and Thursdays as opposed to the weekend?
Yes, there are, because they have, you know, because some people are older, they get retired, there's some people that have weekdays off. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of people that are involved, and I don't want to speak for everybody. I would like for them to speak for themselves, and that's the whole point of Chapter 91. There's a public notice, there's a public hearing, you know, it goes through, the governor signs and all of that. You know, they didn't do that. They've had 3 years and they still haven't done that. What does that tell you? Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to argue too, Mr. Yamada?
Just a very short rebuttal, Yon. And what I would like to refer to is the conservation stamp use and also the bird stamp use. Under the section which imposes the bird hunting license fees, the statute itself is very clear. It says upon payment of the license fee, the department shall issue, it says shall issue. Now, it also gives the option, either you pay the hunting license or fees imposed by the department or related hunting fees imposed by the department as prescribed by the chapter. And as far as I could determine from the statute, the other fees that the department could impose is contained within the duties and responsibilities of the department itself, and that's contained in 183D-2. The most onerous thing about all that we've been talking about is that the department is able to make these changes and actually change the penal law that applies to all of these cases by the decision of one individual instead of a committee through public hearing and through the adoption of rules and regulations. But it's obtained through the fiat of the chairman of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And he is changing the criminal statute, and that makes it the most onerous of all in this case. And that includes the imposition of the...
Why do you say he's changing the criminal statute?
Because for every violation within this, within the bird hunting and mammal hunting provisions of the statute, there is a criminal violation, it's either a misdemeanor or a petty misdemeanor.
Right, if the chairman says you can do it, you can't be prosecuted for that, right? How would you be able to be prosecuted if you are complying with what the enforcer is telling you is permissible?
Your Honor, the problem is that the people who are issuing the citation works essentially for the chairman. And whether you can or will be convicted of that, of course, will depend on the court. But that's the onerous part, that the individual will be issued a citation on based on what the chairman says instead of what the rules and regulation says. And for that reason, the legislature, I think, was very correct when it says that all of the fees and all of the requirements must be adopted through Chapter 91 or 91-3, which deals with the amendment or the adoption of rules and regulations. That is the extent of my rebuttal, unless there are any further questions, Your Honors.
Thank you. Thank you. Take the matter under advisement.
Thank you.